Our sermon text for this morning is Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, as we continue to move through the Gospel of Luke. This is the word of the Lord to you, his people. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Let's go to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us in your word. And Lord, what a strange time this is to not be able to see others face to face, Lord, to be with our fellow brothers and sisters of this congregation, but Lord, we pray that you would bless us even today, even this morning with the hearing of this word. Lord, as you sow your seed, and as the seed of your word falls on soil, cause it to bear much fruit. We pray that you would do this even this morning in our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why do people respond so differently to the message of Jesus? Two people hear the same sermon. One man humbles himself in faith and repentance, but another man walks out those doors saying, "All this talk about salvation just isn't for me." This is what we saw last week. Two people met Jesus at the same banquet, and the sinful woman responded to Jesus with what? With deep devotion, throwing herself at Jesus' feet. She loved him much. But Simon the Pharisee responded with rejection, with contempt. He loved Jesus little. So how can this be? How can there be such different responses to this one message of redemption in a Savior? Well, Jesus answers that question for us this morning in a parable. And before we consider the message of that parable, we need to take a moment to talk about what a parable is and why Jesus speaks with these parables so very much. We're going to hear a lot of them in the upcoming weeks. So what's a parable? A parable is an earthly story which points to a heavenly reality. A parable is a kind of speech that Jesus is going to be using, a kind of speech common in his time, where he draws upon these common things that we see in everyday life. Coins, relationships, families, agriculture. But that's only the first level, because these things, these pictures, are pointing to something deeper. They're pointing to a spiritual reality about the kingdom of God in our hearts. Right here in the middle of the passage, Jesus gives us a key insight, something we just can't miss about why he speaks in parables. Verse 10, he says to his disciples, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." He's quoting Isaiah 6 at the end of that passage. So you see, Jesus is saying something very surprising about what a parable is and how it works. Because what do we ordinarily think a parable does? We think it's kind of like a sermon illustration. It comes along and it clarifies the message and makes it clear to us. But Jesus says, not so fast. Yes, that's part of what a parable is. But a parable is also like a secret embedded in a riddle. And imagine you hear this riddle, this word riddle that Jesus has weaved together. And there's different responses to that. Someone hears about the seed and the sower, and maybe right away they scratch their heads. They say, "What's all this talk about seed? What's he getting at?" And they walk away. Or maybe someone says, "Oh, this is so easy. I can't believe he's talking about seeds and sowers. I know all about this." And they walk away. And they miss the heart of his message. But those who listen and lean in and say, "What's Jesus getting at?" Those who have been given that heart by God to understand, they get the parable. They don't trip over the riddle. And that's the point of a parable. A parable reveals God's message of the secrets of the kingdom, but it also conceals. It divides Jesus' audience to show who's really listening and who is just tuning in on a superficial level. So what's being revealed and concealed in this parable? What's the secret of the kingdom embedded in this parable about a sower, seed, and soil? Here's the message I hope we see this morning. That different hearts explain different responses to Jesus. We're going to see that by first making sure we get a glimpse of this picture that Jesus paints in the parable, but then moving on to see what's his point in all this. So first the picture, but then we're going to see the point. Picture in your mind a farmer with a big, huge bag of seed over his shoulder. And with this big bag slung over his shoulder, he goes out to his field in planting season, and what does he do? He starts tossing that seed all around. He throws it up and he throws it down. He throws it to the right and to the left. He sows widely. And as he scatters those little seeds, they go bouncing all over the place. They roll around in the wind, and they're going left and right to all these different places. Some seed bounces onto the hard-packed surface of a dirt road. This is a dirt path that's been pounded down year after year by trampling feet, by horses, by carts. And so when these little seed land on that hard-packed dirt road, there's no way that their roots are going to be able to reach down into that hard-packed surface. Instead, they become a feast for crows, the kind of crows we see circling in Ohio this time. That, you know, you see them just come down on a field and just eat it dry. And so they come down on this dirt road, and they just gobble those seeds up. No life comes forth from them. But then there's the seed that lands right on top of a thick slab of bedrock. It's covered with loose soil. And at first, those seeds spring up beautifully. In fact, I live on a Christmas tree farm. And I've seen this. Go to this one specific place on the Christmas tree farm, and you're seeing these beautiful, lush green trees. And then you see this one spot where four or five trees are kind of withered. And you can tell they've gotten about 3 or 4 feet tall, but then they start to fall over and they turn a yellowish color. And so I asked the farmer, "What's up with those trees?" He said, "Well, we planted them. They grew up. They looked great. They were doing fantastic. But then they started to die. And here's why. Here's why they started to wither. It's because right beneath the surface, you can't see it, but there's this thick layer of limestone. And when those trees send down their roots, when that sun beats down on those trees and they send down the roots for moisture, there's none to be found, only cold, hard rock. And so, just like those Christmas trees, on top of that bed of limestone, these plants spring up, but so fast, in the sun and the heat, they wither away and die. Well, other seed ends up in soil infested with weeds. Now, kids, you can be really glad that your parents have you, as a chore, pick out the kind of weeds that they ask you to pick. Because in the Middle East, weeds were crazy big. They would grow as tall as 6 feet, and then they'd let out these beautiful colored blossoms. But they could only do that because they were sucking the life out of these little plant, these little seedlings, wrapping their tentacles around them until they choked out and died. And that's exactly what's happening with these little seedlings that have landed in weed-infested soil. Three kinds of soil kill the sower's seed. But some land in good soil. Some land in high-quality dirt, the kind of rich, fertile soil that's been plowed and picked of weeds and watered, and it's ready. You look at it. You know the kind of soil I'm talking about. We're about to see it in Ohio. It's just ready to grow something. And look at what Jesus says. Some seed fell into that good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Now that is a harvest for the history books. Because a good harvest in Jesus' day would have been 7 to 10-fold. But this is 100-fold. This is a miracle. And that might just have something to do with the point of this parable. Well, we see the picture in the parable. Are you seeing it in your mind? Well, what's the point? Do we have ears to hear the deeper spiritual truth here? Jesus calls out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Are you really listening to what Jesus is saying? Because he goes on to tell us the point, a point that we need to listen carefully to if we're going to apply it to our hearts. Look at verse 11. Jesus tells us, the seed is the word of God. It's that word of God which goes out through the preaching of his word, the proclamation of his word. And as it goes out, it's reaching all kinds of different people. Every Sunday this happens. And more than Sunday, whenever the word goes out, it's hitting people's hearts. And that's what this soil represents. The different types of soil are like different types of hearts which hear the word and respond differently. Let's look briefly at these different types of hearts. Some hearts are resistant. They're like that hard-packed soil of a dirt road, nearly impenetrable. The word of God comes to those hearts with the message of a Savior who saves sinners, and it's like that message hits a brick wall. Maybe that wall is pride. We don't want a Savior. We want someone to congratulate us on our righteousness, congratulate us on our accomplishments. It's what we've seen already in the kind of rejection in the Gospel of Luke from the Pharisees. Or maybe that wall is the kind of freedom we want to live. We don't want a person like Jesus coming and telling us how we should live. We don't want someone coming and saying, if you're going to walk on the right road, you can't live like that. And so that message of Jesus can come up against a brick wall of our definition of freedom, our idea of self-sufficiency. But whatever that brick wall is, Jesus gives us a window into what's really going on beneath the surface, behind the scenes. Verse 12. After they have heard, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. When we see this kind of rejection to the word of God, Jesus tells us there is spiritual warfare going on behind the scenes. This is no ordinary rejection. It is a rejection that comes from a heart hardened by Satan, who descends like those crows, like those birds of the air. And the seed does not take root. Other hearts are superficial. They're shallow. And they're shallow like that soil with a thick layer of limestone right beneath the surface. And at first, boy, we know what this is like. At first, the response to the gospel is so promising. We see people who hear the word of Jesus, and they're beaming with excitement. In fact, they gather huge groups of people around them with their enthusiasm to talk about the gospel. But then, they experience persecution for Jesus' sake. They endure the death of a loved one. And just as soon as they sprung up, just as soon as that seed started to take root, they wither away and die. Their response was a shallow profession of faith, but it was not a possession of true saving faith. It's not a joy that springs out of a heart that that has taken the gospel, the roots of the gospel, into the depths of the soul. No, this is an emotional and an intellectual response to Jesus that fades when those pressures of life start to beat down upon it. Listen to 1 John 2:19. John is talking about those who went out from us, who walked away from the faith. And he says, "But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." Their bending under the pressures and the heat of life reveals but a shallow and a superficial profession of faith, but not a deep possession of that faith. But still, other hearts are distracted. We see those distracted hearts here. They're like soil that's infested with the weeds of the distractions of this life. Weeds that reach out and take their tentacles around a tiny seedling. And they stifle and destroy the possibility of saving faith. Friends, we know these distractions of life. What are they? Well, verse 14 gives us a helpful summary. It tells us, the cares of life distract us. This coronavirus pandemic, it can be an opportunity to turn to Jesus, but it can also be an opportunity to become distracted from Jesus. We can become so preoccupied with checking those numbers and those risks day after day that we lose sight of that subtle drift of our own hearts. The riches of life also distract us. Money. And in just a few chapters, we'll see a rich young man who comes to Jesus and he says, "Tell me, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And one of the things Jesus tells him to do is go and sell everything he owns. But Luke tells us, he goes away very disappointed. Why? Because he was very wealthy. Money, the love and pursuit of money, can be a tentacle that wraps around us and chokes the one who professes faith. Finally, the pleasures of life distract us. Did you notice that also in this list? In verse 14, the pleasures of life. We can always be living for that next best thing. That next video game that's just going to, wow, blow our minds. It's going to be great. Or we can live for that beautiful house. Or we can live for that wonderful spouse. That incredible job. The next pleasure. And we can lose sight of Jesus so easily. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:10. He talks about a friend of his, a friend he loved named Demas. Here's what he says about Demas. "Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Those weeds of the pleasures and the love of this life and the next best thing had wrapped their tentacles around Demas. What distractions are in your life, friends? And so we see these three hearts, these three kind of hearts that, to varying levels and degrees, seem to have promise, but ultimately stifle life, do not allow the seed of the word to take root in the soul through saving faith. But that's not where this passage ends. Because some hearts are receptive. Some hearts receive the word with lasting and longing joy. They bring forth abundant fruit of faith and obedience, just like that seed that yields a hundredfold, that miraculous harvest. Look at verse 15. When some hearts hear that message about Jesus, they hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. What does it look like to have a receptive heart? What does it look like to have a heart that takes in the roots of the word down and deep and gives life? Well, we don't have to look far because we've already seen example after example of the good soil. The Gentile centurion at the beginning of chapter 7 was one who was bearing fruit, the fruit of good soil, the fruit of faith in Christ's word. And then the sinful woman at the end of chapter 7 was also bearing incredible fruit, a fruit of a miraculous harvest. It's the fruit of deep devotion for Jesus. And then here at the beginning of our passage, we see three women. In verse 2 of our passage, Mary, Joanna, Susanna, they bear the fruit of lifelong sacrifice and service for Jesus. In fact, we know that Mary Magdalene, she goes with Jesus all the way to the cross, all the way to that empty tomb. Long, enduring, honest heart. This is good soil. This is fruitful soil. Is this the soil of your heart? Is this your response to Jesus? Well, friends, the seed of God's word is falling even now upon your hearts. It's the sower's throwing his seed and it's landing on your hearts. So how do we respond? There's only one response I can think of, and it's this: Lord, make me good soil. Make me fruitful soil. Because apart from God's grace, none of us can receive his word. None of us have hearts that can take in that soil down deep. Can you till your own heart? Can you reach down into your heart and prepare it to take in the root of God's word? No. Apart from the work of God in our hearts are that hard, packed, resistant soil. And yet, there is good news for us. That we have a God who tills hearts. We have a God who gives receptive and willing hearts. And the good news of the gospel is that that's exactly what Jesus Christ is at work doing in the hearts of sinners. When your hearts were cold and lifeless, Jesus plowed those hard hearts. He tilled those hearts. He watered them with his Holy Spirit so that they became new, fertile hearts. That's what we heard in Ezekiel 36, 26. God said, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. brothers and sisters, this is the moment to call out to your God and say, Lord, give me that heart that is receptive to your word. Make me willing and able to bear much fruit. And then go and bear the fruit of faith in Jesus and obedience to his word. Let's go to him now in prayer, asking him to do that very thing. Heavenly Father, you are sowing your seed, and it is landing upon our hearts. Lord, we need you to plow our hearts. We need you to make us rich, fertile soil so your word can take root down deep. And we pray that you would do that even now as we continue to go to you in worship. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.